This is an on-demand podcast presentation of the voice of McLean County, 1230 WJBC.
WJBC, the voice of McLean County.
Ron Ross on WJBC.
And good morning. It's about 10:15, 70 degrees right now. Some thunderstorms are on the way. We'll keep an eye on the sky. But right now, our guest on the phone this hour is Mr. Alan Gompers, author of a new book called Maximum Security, The True Meaning of Freedom. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Ron.
Glad to have you on the air. How long has the book been out, by the way?
Well, actually, you guys got a scoop a bit because it doesn't hit the bookstores until May. But we've been, people have been ordering it on my website and pre-ordering it through Amazon.com. But basically, we begin our book tour next week, and it hits the bookstores actually in the beginning of May.
And your home stomping grounds of New York City, you've already done a book signing, I believe you said.
Well, we did a huge one here in Manhattan, in the heart of New York City at the Chelsea New York Center. And we had a tremendous turnout, and it was really an exciting night.
Well, Alan, let's go back in time and tell your story here briefly. There was a time when you were pretty much living the American dream, nice home, money, fame, well-connected friends. You were a self-made millionaire. You were a singer, a musician. But on the inside, apparently, you were not such a happy guy.
I guess that's the classic ultimate dichotomy of experience. My whole life, it seemed like everything that I ever wanted, every dream, everything I've ever searched for or longed for always came to me.
Yeah.
But underneath those experiences were these feelings of loneliness and fear and despair that was so intense that it kept driving me to try to find some answers and ways out of it. But all that happened is I became more successful, made a tremendous amount of money and had success and power beyond my dreams and got to a place where I had used up all my options. And I had everything I thought that I was supposed to have that was supposed to bring me happiness and peace.
Yeah.
And I was as close to wanting to end my life as I'd ever thought possible. And I wound up getting caught up in drugs and then selling drugs and getting busted by the New York City Police Department and find myself in front of a judge sentencing me to 15 years to life.
In Sing Sing, no less.
Well, that was my first stop, actually. I wound up in about five or six different places, but I started off at Sing Sing, which is that infamous place, so-called up the river.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty a horrible moment. I felt, Ron, it felt to me as if I had put one foot into hell, and my life was over.
Yeah, at this point in time, because of the drug use and the other trouble you were in, that had to be the absolute low point of your life, wouldn't you say?
Well, there was nowhere else to go. I remember when I was sentenced right from the courtroom, and I wound up in a little cell about the size of a small bathroom, where I was supposed to spend the rest of my life.
Yeah.
In terms of the way I experienced the whole sentence. The only thing I could touch in those moments were the feelings of loneliness and fear that I'd had all my life.
Uh-huh.
Only now they were like screaming inside of me with an intensity that was so great that if I could have died on the floor of that cell right there and then, for me it would have been an act of mercy.
What kind of, let's say, support network did you have outside? Did you still have a lot of friends pulling for you, or had you burned a lot of bridges?
The adage is, money and friends and soon parted.
Yeah.
Was that ever the truth?
Yeah.
I had predicated my whole life on making a lot of money and being able to have a hold over other people as a manipulator, and I became a master at it. And, of course, when the money went when I got busted, so went the majority of the people who were so-called friends in my life.
Yeah.
Now, even my wife, who we were married, just renewed our vows. She wound up with another man. My business collapsed. I seemed to be thrown into a whole different world, totally alone for the first time in my life.
But now tell us about being behind bars, because you say in your book that This is where you found what you had been searching for your entire life. Can you explain that to us?
Well, you know, without realizing it consciously, you know, when you're really unhappy and you're really frightened and you really feel alone and disconnected from the world all the time, you either give up or you try to find some way out of it.
Yeah.
For me, the search was, you know, the pain was so great that I was constantly looking for ways out of it. That's how I got involved in singing, figuring that was an option. Relationships with beautiful women, that was an option. Making money, that was the ultimate option, I thought.
Yeah.
Family, friends, all of that stuff. And after a while, you figure, well, you know, if that doesn't do it, maybe this will. And then you get to a place where you used up every single thing you thought could work. And that's what brought me to the drugs and then getting busted. So I had this idea all through my life that there was light at the end of this tunnel somewhere. I just needed to find it.
And what was the light? What did it turn out to be? What works for you?
Well, it was nothing. You know, I would like to take credit for it, so would my ego. But I can tell you without question, I had nothing. The Alan Gompers that I knew had nothing to do with it, because I was just a helpless victim at the end.
Yeah.
But what happened was that I wound up, while I was in the joint the next day, out in the prison yard, scared to death.
Uh-huh. I would be, too.
Oh, my goodness gracious. There's a couple of thousand inmates out there, all most big-time lifers, and I had a life bit. I didn't know how to handle myself.
Yeah.
And I wound up out on the running track trying to just to do something to not to draw attention to myself, to get out of that state, started to run, and all of a sudden my mind and my heart exploded, and tears and emotions started to pour out of me, and I wound up at the corner of a prison yard, sitting down, and in that moment, I was totally depleted, Ron, of every single emotion and feeling I thought I ever had in my life was gone. I was just on empty.
Yeah.
And my eyes closed, my legs crossed. I wasn't doing it. It just happened.
Really?
And I wound up in this deep, profound state of meditation. Now, I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. I didn't know what meditation was. I couldn't even spell the word.
Yeah.
But when I came out of that meditation experience about 20 minutes later, I looked out and it was like the entire world around me had changed.
So what do you really think happened to you in that moment?
Well, the only thing I can tell you is, you know, all through my life I had a knot in the pit of my stomach. It was that knot of fear. Anytime something came up that traumatized me, it would always be that knot in the pit of my stomach.
Yeah.
And when I got into prison, that knot began to grow so large that it felt like it was consuming me. When I opened my eyes after meditation, the knot was gone. And it felt like it was just scooped out of me, and it felt permanent. There was a permanent feeling to it. And in that space were these waves, I mean waves, Ron, of contentment and a feeling of lightness that I felt like I could lift myself right off the ground. And feelings of, I mean, it's hard to imagine, but feelings of happiness started to come up inside of me, feelings of lightness and contentment. And I sat there on the ground and looking out and wishing that this feeling could go on forever. I said, God, if there's a God out there, if you would just let me know how to hold on to these feelings, I would never ask for anything else in my whole life ever again. It was that exquisite.
And at that moment, did you think that you had had a religious awakening, or did you think it was something else?
You know, Ron, in that moment, I had no idea what in the hell it was.
Yeah.
So when I got back to my cell, I just tried to find some way in which to discover what had happened to me. And as I walked back in the corridor into my cell, one of the guys from the cell block, we were all lifers, 36 lifers on the block.
Yeah.
He walks up to the cell, looks through this little opening in the cell door where the guards would look through to make sure you hadn't escaped. And he handed me this book.
Uh-huh.
And had a picture of an Indian meditation master on it called Swami Muktananda. And he handed me the book, and I held it in my hand, and my knees buckled.
Really?
and I fell down on the floor on my knees, and I couldn't get up. And the same feeling that happened out in the prison yard happened again. And I sat down on my bed. I remember opening up this book and reading the beginning of it, and I'm telling you that I never read anything like this in my life. It was like every word, even the punctuation marks, were filled with a sense of wisdom and power beyond anything that I had ever seen or known or read before in my whole life.
Wow. Alan, we're a little bit short on time here, but this is a fascinating story, and I know you go on to explain many of these things in the book, but we want to talk about a couple other things very quickly. But how long total were you in maximum security prison?
Well, actually, several years down the road, I got called into the warden's office, and he told me that, every year the governor of the state of New York gives a pardon, executive clemency, to a handful of, at that time there was 40,000 inmates, now there's about 100,000 and change.
Uh-huh.
And he said this year they selected five, and he said you were one of them.
Wow.
And so the governor granted me a sense of, gave me a pardon, which reduced my sentence from 15 years to life to 6 to life. But I'll tell you something, Ron, I know we don't have a lot of time, but one of the most powerful experiences that ever happened to me right then, because I hadn't experienced since that meditation any fear or unhappiness in my life since that time for the next two and a half years until that moment.
Yeah.
And as I was walking back to my cell, the fear came back again, full blown. And I realized that I could be going back out into the world. I had no wife anymore. I had no job. I had no money. I had nothing.
Yeah.
But that wasn't it. What I came to realize was I didn't want to go. The sentence was no longer a sentence to me. Time was no longer something evil or bad in my mind. It was an opportunity to go so deep into my meditation practice where I found the joy, the happiness, and the sense of freedom that I never even knew existed. And I wanted more time. It wasn't the prison, it was the time that was so crucial to me.
So you were okay with staying behind bars for a while longer?
Yeah, I actually got back to the cell, opened up the letter, and I was reduced to 6 years to life. I did 2.5, I had 3.5 years more, and I let out a sigh of relief, of gratitude.
Wow.
Now, I would never have said that to anybody. They would have thrown a net over me.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But, Ron, that's exactly how I felt.
Alan, before we go here, two things. First of all, the book is coming out in May. Where can we get the book?
Well, it's been reviewed, and so many people who have gotten it have called up excited and really inspired by it, so I'm really grateful. But my website, Alan Gompers, it's spelled A-L-A-N, G as in George, O-M as in Mary, P-E-R-S.com is the website. You can order it there.
Okay.
Or Amazon has it also available, .com. Or you can call my toll-free number at 888-558-G as in George, O-M-P as in Peter. 888-558-G-O-M-P.
Okay, very good. One final thing, Alan, before you go. Why do they call you Pop Doo-Wop?
Wow. Well, when I got out of prison, I was riding home in a car one night, and I tuned into an oldie station here in New York. It was Don K. Reed was the, I don't know if you remember him or know him, but he was the modern-day Alan Freed who took rock and roll to the next level when it came back.
Uh-huh.
And he was introducing Norman Fox, whose group the Rod Roys did the great song Tell Me Why, and Norman and I grew up. And I called the station, and Don K. Reed called me back, and he helped me to get back into the business and start producing the shows. He actually emceed them for me in the beginning till I got my feet wet. And as I started producing these shows and they started to become popular around the metropolitan area, the groups one day started calling me Pop because I was a little older than everybody. And then the word doo-wop put together, and my partner at the time, gave me the name Pop Doo-Wop, and the industry picked it up, and it's been Pop Doo-Wop ever since.
How about that? Very good. Alan, we are out of time, but continued success in your life. It's been an interesting story, and it can all be read about in Maximum Security, The True Meaning of Freedom by Alan Gompers. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Ron. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.